as you lift our voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, sir.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Help me welcome three people around you. Tell them you are welcome to the house of rescue. Tell him your life will never be the same this morning. Tell him I have a conviction in my spirit. I have a conviction in my spirit. I believe the Lord will do a new thing in your life. In this month of March, whatever is sick in your life, tell him whatever is not working in your life is going to start working. And the grace of God will speak for you. I believe it. Clap your two hands. Heavenly Father, your word is already anointed. Anoint these lips of clay. Ordain power in my mouth by the teaching of your word. Heal the sick, raise the dead, revive the weak. And I pray that your glory and your favor will come upon your church. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Clap your two hands and just magnify the Lord. Wherever you are, just magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have been looking at something that I will conclude this morning. On our subject of Titan, criticisms leveled against Titan. It's very important that we finish it and we finish it well. Because it's a very, very controversial subject as far as Christianity is concerned. Criticisms leveled against Titan. In the month, we have looked at about six of them. We said, number one, Titan has been criticized that it is under the law of Moses and not a New Testament doctrine and practice.
And
we have answered that is a big false, because Titan existed in the days of Abraham before the law of Moses came into existence. And it continues even till today. Just as principles like murder, fornication, and all those sins and those principles were in existence already before Moses came to enshrine it in the law, it still continues even in the era of grace. You will still not be allowed to murder. You are still not allowed to commit immorality or fornication, which was before, even in the days of Noah, in the days of Adam and his children, where murder started and all that. It still continues even in the dispensation of the New Testament. Just like
time.
We also said that it doesn't bring us, they criticize that it doesn't bring us blessing, that we're already blessed. And we said, yes, that is true. We're already blessed. And as a matter of fact, that is why we tithe. We tithe because of that level of blessing that we have. If we had nothing, then there is nothing to give. But as long as there is something small in your hands, we have to tithe it. And tithing is not just to get a blessing, but it's because we are blessed. And out of the blessing that we have, the 100 cities, the 1,000 cities, the 50 cities, we give God his tithe. And in giving the tithe, it provokes a sustenance and a consistency or a continuation of that blessing in your life. Abraham was blessed.
And Abraham
he continued to pay his tithe
and
remain blessed even till today.
And
we also said that it's a choice. they also criticize that it's a choice and not compulsory. Then we explained the previous week that if it is a choice, why should God call it robbery? When God calls it robbery, it means it's not a choice. It means it is something that you are mandated to pay and to do because it's not your money. So you can't choose to tithe or not. It belongs to God. And so you must give it back to the Lord. So it is not an issue of choice, else God will not call it robbery. If you don't pay.
If you don't pay. If you don't pay.
And then the final one we did, which was number 6, was that Jesus condemned the tithe. They criticized that Jesus condemned the tithe in Matthew 23:23, that Jesus, but we read it last week and we took our time to break it down and we all realized that Jesus didn't condemn it. Jesus said that the way you are very committed to tithing, also be committed to being merciful to people out there and being just. Or maintain justice. He says that for the weightier matters of the law, justice or judgment, and then mercy and faith. So just as you are mindful of tithing, so he was addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, that you are mindful of tithing, but you deal shrewdly, you are very unjust towards the poor. So have mercy on the poor. Have mercy on the poor and judgment. So if you're a tither, it doesn't mean you don't help people out there. It doesn't mean you don't show mercy on the poor. Do you get it? So Jesus says that this you should do: judgment, mercy, and faith, not neglecting the others, which means what? The tithing of the anise and then the canons and all the things that Jesus spoke about. So you tithe and you also do your good works. Tell somebody, keep tithing and keep being merciful to others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is nothing like, well, as for me, I give money to poor people in town, so I don't need to tithe. That is a fallacy. That's not true. Jesus didn't condemn the tithe. So today, number 7, let's be clear, right? They criticize the tithe that engaging in charitable works is better than paying of tithe. They criticize the tithe that it is better that you are spending money to support widows out there and to give to poor people, blind people out there, and giving to people who are in need out there, than to bring it to the church and give it as a tithe. That's their criticism. And then their key scripture is the Matthew 23:23, which we studied very well last week. And so we are going to read it again. And then we can move on. Matthew 23:23. Church, shall we all read together? Woe to you. Please, are you reading with me? I want to hear you loudly, loud and clear. One go. I can't hear. One go. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Do you see it? Hypocrites. So he was dealing with hypocrisy. Therefore, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. This you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
So over here, Jesus, like we said, did not condemn the payment of tithe, but rather he was telling them that just as you treat tithe as an important thing, so also treat mercy of the poor as an important thing. And whilst you're having mercy, judgment, and faith towards God, make sure that you don't neglect the tithe. There is no way you can say that Jesus emphasized more on mercy than on the tithe, because he said that you should also not neglect the tithe. And so being merciful to people is good. Announce to somebody, be merciful to people. Be kind, give, support people. But don't exchange it for your tithes. Because what you give to people is your money. But what you give to God as a tithe is his money. So you can give your money to help the poor, but you cannot give God's tithe. out that you have decided God showed you where you should pay his money. He said, bring it to the church, the storehouse. That is the instruction he gave us in Deuteronomy 26. And in Malachi 3, verse
10.
He did not tell us that we should take the tithe and share it on the roadside to the poor. He didn't say that we should take it to the orphanage. But rather, there should be a portion of your money that you use for generosity to be merciful. I also do that. There are monies that I give out to help the poor and to help people who are in need. But that is not the tithe. The tithe belongs to who? Hello, talk to me. The tithe belongs to who? And where do we pay the tithe? He said, bring it to the storehouse. So that there will be food in my house. So his house. There will be resources in his house. Is somebody following what I'm saying
now?
So you cannot decide that somebody's money is what you are using to help others. Can you make such a decision? Now, assuming you are owing me. No, assuming I owing you. Everybody pay attention. Assuming I'm owing you. I'm owing you 500 cedis.
500 cedis.
And I've not paid for 1 year. Yet you have been hearing that in the neighborhood, I'm distributing food, money, giving free gifts and freebies to people. Will you clap for me or you'll be upset? Be very, very frank with yourself. I am owing you and I've not been able to pay. For 1 year, yet you keep hearing people say that, oh, I dashed them 5 cedis. I gifted them 100 Ghana cedis. But you remember that I am owing you and I said I don't have money.
And also,
so how come you are owing me? You say you don't have money, yet you got money to give to Brother A and Brother B. Would that not be the question you
asked?
So now, if you give your money to help the poor, it's not a problem, but it shouldn't be God's money, which is called the tithe in your mind. It shouldn't be God's money. Clap your two hands
together. And what's the tithe?
Do you understand what I'm saying? It shouldn't be God's portion of the money. You can give your money to the poor and bring God's money also for his work. And there's no problem. You get more blessings. You get more favor.
More
increase. The reason is because aside your tithe, you are also paying attention to the poor. Does it make sense at all? Then clap your two hands for Jesus. No, so that is what Jesus was saying over there. So those who criticize the tithe, that being merciful out there or performing charitable works out there is better than paying tithe, it is non-scriptural. It is not biblical. It is not right. It looks very, very nice. It looks like you are the best person on earth. You are so good. But what you are doing is still wrong. You are using somebody else's money for generosity. Not your money. Your money is the 90%. And the 10% in what you are holding is the tithe which belongs to God. So why is it that the 90% you couldn't take the money for that poor man on the street, but you took it from your tithe? And when you are asked of your tithe, you say, oh, midi mo hiya fubi. That's not right. That's like robbing Peter to pay Paul.
And he said, oh, Peter, Corona, they cheer Paul.
Clap your two hands for that. If you understand what I'm saying, wave your hands. Come on, if you understand it, just wave your hands. Number 8. They also criticize the tithe, that it's not a sin if you don't pay tithe. Malachi 3 verse 8. 1 John 3 verse 4. They attack the tithe that it's not a sin if you don't pay tithe. I understand them from where they are coming from. I will not argue with them about that. But there is something I have to say about that. What is sin? 1 John, go there.
Johannes who made the
chapter 3, verse 4. Go to verse
4.
Now, church, please read with me. What we are dealing with is subjects you should be reading along. So that you don't say that pastor said. The Bible said. Now, let's all read together from the back. Loudly, one go. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. For sin is lawlessness. Go to the King James. Use the King James language for me. Use the King James language for me. Good. Now, everybody, read with me again. One go. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. Also, the law. Whoever commits sin, he breaks the law. That means that sin is breaking the law. There is a law that don't steal in Ghana. When you steal and they catch you, you have broken the law of Ghana. True or not true? So when we say someone has sinned, it means he has transgressed. Don't urinate here. Else when you are caught, fine. And you are caught urinating there. You have sinned against the law they gave over there. True or not true? You have sinned against that law. And so when you are arrested, you will be fined. You have to pay a fine. Do you understand what I'm saying?
What's here?
Now, so the Bible says that for sin is the transgression of the law, is the breaking of the law. That's what sin is. Breaking an instruction. Disobeying a principle is what we call transgression, or in quote sin. Now listen to me carefully. I have not said that when you don't pay tithe, you have committed sin that kill you to hell. That's not what we have said. But what we are saying that it is still a transgression. It is a breaking of an instruction of God. Malachi 3 verse 10, who said bring all the tithe? It's not me, it's God. So when you disobey God, you have broken the instruction of God. So it may not be something that has to do with heaven or hell, but it's a principle of God you have what? Broken. And for me, I don't want to break the principle of God. Whether it will take me to hell or heaven, I want to be in the good books of God. I don't know about you. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
What's the answer for penny?
Those of you here, are you following me? Look at me. Now, that is why when you come to Malachi 3, verse 8, he says that you people have robbed me. All of you, the nation. You have robbed me. Because you are not giving your tithes and your offerings. Something that is not a sin, that is not wrong if you don't pay. Why should he call it robbery? Do you know robbery? Last week I explained to you. We even read it from the dictionary. That robbery is denying and depriving someone of something forcefully. Taking something out of the hands of someone
forcefully.
Denying somebody forcefully. You have defrauded the person. Most fraudsters don't use gun. True or not true?
Yeah, one that angry for me, but never use it.
They defraud you.
One that I would.
They take money from your account.
One you see
without pulling a gun on you.
Why, but I want him for 20 so.
They deny you of your own money by taking it from you. And God is saying that those who deny him of that money called tithe, they are robbing him of that money to run his work, to carry out his agenda. Someone by you and tell him, listen to what pastor is saying. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And so it is not a sin. Why is he calling it robbery? That means there is something about the tithe that you shouldn't joke with. There is something wrong about not paying it according to God. That's how God sees it. That there is something wrong if you don't pay. That's why he said you are robbing me. Because robbery is even higher than even just stealing. It involves force. Now, when you enter into the scriptures very well, there are things that were not stated directly as sin, but they are implied as sin. For example, if you are a leader in the Bible and you don't pray for your followers, it is called sin. According to 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23. Everybody, let's go there. 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23. Please be up on your feet with me. Please be up on your feet. I want you to be active this morning. And everyone, let us read together. This is Samuel.
Where is Samuel?
A spiritual leader. Talking to his church. Let's all read what is on the screen. One go. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. So what did Samuel say here?
And then Samuel can waha.
Tofiakwa.
Say, empower me.
Far be it from me.
Say, empower me.
That I will sin against. I gave 5 people at Antioch, you didn't pray for them. I gave you 5 people at Men's Club, you didn't pray for them. I gave you 3 people at Amasama, you didn't pray for them. But it is not recorded anywhere that thou shalt not stop praying.
That's one true, maybe Biara. That's one mumpire man.
Are you getting what I'm saying? That is a sin. Do you understand my argument here? So don't expect that I said that if you don't pay tithe, you have sin in the Bible. Before you understand that, there is something sinful about it. There is something sinful about not paying tithe. There is something sinful about it. I can't say upon authority that it will take you to hell or to heaven. That one, God has not told me. Or I've not seen that. So I can't say that. But as far as the scriptural knowledge is concerned, it is breaking of God's instruction. And that is tantamount to a form of sin. Ask the one by you, do you understand? How many of you know that when a wife, let me use the wives because they do that most. When a wife decides that I will not let my husband have sex with me, how many of you know that it is sin? If you know it is sin, lift up your hands. How many of you know when a husband decides that I will not sleep with my wife, when the wife says that, oh honey, say no, I will not have sex with you. How many of you know that God sees it as a sin? God sees it as you are like a sin. Because the person paid your bride price. 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Corinthians 4, 18 song.
Stand and read. So afterwards, then you sit. Then I explain.
Corinthians 4, 18 song.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 5. It will shock you. Some of you wives here repent. And some of you husbands who repent. But more importantly, the wives. Yes, because as for the men, they are always ready. As for them, they don't disappoint. No weather. It's the women who likes, I'm tired, I'm from work, the babies are stressing me and all that. Should I preach?
Preach.
Hey, it looks like you are too gentle for my liking this one. Now, use King James for me, please. King James. Now, the whole church, especially the ladies, read loudly. Those of you who are about to marry, learn it before you marry. I don't want any report in my office. If your husband can't report you, no, you are in trouble. One go. You see that they are reading. If there's a lady not reading, tell him that my friend, watch out, we will not marry you. If you do that, we will not marry you. One go, read it. Oh, why are you not reading? I said, an uncle's school. Read the thing, one go. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, that is for your lack of self-control. He said, defraud ye. He was talking about sex. If you read the whole place, he was talking about marriage and stuff. And he says that husband and wife, don't defraud. And my interest is that he used the word defraud. He didn't just say that, oh, don't say you don't have sex. He said defraud. That means that any wife that doesn't have sex with their husband without his consent says, I'll not have sex with you. He's a fraudster. He's a what? He's a what? He's a fraudster. You are defrauding the man. He paid your bride price. He paid your bride price. Your body belongs to him. You, the man, your body belongs to your husband, your wife. So if your wife says that today I want to have fun, and you say no, you are a fraudster. He has to go back to your father's house and take the bride price. You and the 419 on the street are the same. The punishment of the Sakala boy is the same punishment for you. But my issue here is that a lot of people didn't see this one in the law of Moses. It was never mentioned anywhere for you to say verbatim that this one is sin. But secretly, it looks like it's a sin. Because the Bible says that you are defrauding. So you see, tithing is something like that. Sit down now. Sit down. Clap your two hands. Oh, clap your two hands from that corner. So, tithing is something like that. The Bible didn't say directly that if you don't pay your tithe, you are sinning. But God says that bring it is an instruction. And if you don't bring it, it says you are robbing me. So what does that mean? It means that there is something sinful about not paying. So as to whether it will take you to heaven or take you to hell, I don't know. Don't ask me. There are things you do that are wrong. Which may not take you to hell. But you will suffer consequences on earth. And for example, is what I'm talking about. When the wife defraud the husband. When the pastor doesn't pray for the souls. You see that the church will become some way. You see that the church cannot become what God wants it to be. Because you are sinning. You may still go to heaven though, but you will suffer on it. Your marriage will not work. Because you are defrauding your husband. And he will go after another woman. And you will wear your long headgear or your scarf and come and kneel in front of the altar praying for marital intervention. Meanwhile, you are walking in sin, in disobedience, by not making your husband have an affair with you. And so you may go to heaven, but you will suffer here. So tithing, you may go to heaven, but financially, you may not enjoy here on earth. You may struggle with poverty. And the reason is because you are sinning against God in that area of your life. It may not take you to heaven, but it has its own consequences here. As far as you want to enjoy prosperity, lasting prosperity as a child of God, like Abraham and the Jews, then you must subscribe to fasting. To tighten. To tighten. Clap your two hands. Do you understand it now? So if they say it's not a sin, I won't argue. But this is the meaning I'm trying to make you understand, that it is a type of sin. It may not take you to hell, but one of the silent sins that are in the Bible. Don't talk about it plenty. Because it may not be about your salvation in heaven, but it can affect your prosperity on earth. Just as sex can affect your marriage here on earth. Just like praying for your followers as a leader can affect, not praying for them can affect the success of your ministry. Clap your two hands together if you understand. Number nine, they also criticize the tithe that you will not be cursed when you don't pay your tithe. There's no curse. The pastors have been lying to them that if you don't pay tithe, they will be cursed. Jesus has blessed us, then there's no curse. If I don't pay tithe, there's no way I'll be cursed. Malachi 3 verse 8. You can go and tear it out of your Bible. It was God that said it with his own mouth. It is not another person. It's God that spoke. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In your tithes and offerings. Then verse 9. He said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even you, this whole nation. So God emphasized it. God kept repeating it, that you have robbed me, that you are doing something wrong, and the consequences of what you are doing is cursing. It's bringing a curse on you. So it means that people that do not practice the tithe, they themselves bring the curse of the Lord on them. Do you know why? Because the Bible says, the curse of the Lord, not the devil. Not the devil cursing you, not witches cursing you. The Bible says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. That means anybody who is a thief, God himself curses the person. Tell the person by you, listen. So in case you are stealing anywhere, in your house, in your workplace, in your area, wherever, it brings a curse on you. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. That is why when you rob God, it's also stealing with force. That is why God said it emphatically that you are cursed. They have given you the scripture, Zechariah 5:4. The curse of the Lord is in the house of a thief. Every thief, his house is cursed. His children are cursed. And so anybody who robs God, you are also stealing from God with force. Like we have explained, you are defrauding God. You are stealing with force. So you invoke this curse on your life. This is not pastor scaring you. I'm only reading scriptures to you. I pray that may God lift every curse from your life.
Amen.
Oh, let your amen be the loudest.
Amen.
May God lift every curse from your life.
Amen.
Some of you, your hands, you need the blessings of God. I declare, may God lift every curse from your hands.
Amen.
So that when you gather, it will remain in your hands.
Amen.
A lot of you complain that you are working hard. When money comes, it doesn't stay. When money comes, you can't account for it. You feel someone is blowing money away, or something, or somebody stealing from you, or certain things happen to your finances and you cannot account for it. Tithing is one of the ways you invoke curses on your hands, and when money comes, it doesn't stay. But I pray for 100 people here this morning that may God exempt you of every curse. May God lift up every curse of tithelessness from you. That from today, may the blessings of God continue in your work, in your profession, in your career, in your business, in the work of your hands. Say, my hands are blessed. Say, every curse is lifted. Say, every curse is lifted. And my hands are blessed. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? And so when they say that you are not cursed, they should go and read the Bible. What is a curse? A curse simply means that a certain negative force is working against you. When we say somebody has been blessed, it's not money and this. It means that spiritually you have been programmed to succeed in that thing. So it's like, I bless you. I have programmed you to do well. So you see that from that day onwards, everything you touch is doing well. In the same way, and somebody can just say, you are cursed. Or somebody can curse you. He will not touch you. He will not do any enchantment against you. The mere fact that he speaks a curse, in the spirit, curses are programming that makes you fail. It's like no matter how hard you try, something the spirit has been programmed that you will fail. Now those are the forces at play in the spirit. And so don't joke with your tithe. Otherwise you wake hard, you wake up from dawn to dusk, and yet there is something working against you. There's something. You see that you work for 10 years and you have nothing to show. You work for 20 years. You gather and thieves will come and steal it. You will gather and sickness, troubles from your family will scatter everything. And always you need money. Because something is working against your way. Something is working against your finances. But I stretch forth my two hands in the name of Jesus. I am praying for some people here. I stretch forth my two hands in the name of Jesus. Whatever is working against you, may the anointing over this house work against them. I declare that may God have mercy upon you. May he break every curse of tithelessness. May he break every curse working against your financial destiny. May he break every curse of poverty, every curse of struggling, every curse of unfortunate situations, uncertainties happening to you. Clap your two hands and say, I'm free. Or clap your two hands and say, I'm free. Are you learning? Are you learning? If you are learning, you must start working. Do it. Practice it. Because if it's not true, I will not spend weeks teaching you. And that's why I'm quoting scripture for everything. And then finally, the church, they are criticizing us that the church is taking people's money instead of making them invest and save money. Instead of pastors teaching their members to open bank account and save money, they are only taking tithes from them. That's a criticism on the internet about tithe, and some of you have heard that. If you have heard that, lift up your hand, let me see. There are all kinds of you to teach them how to save, how to buy treasury bills, how to
treasury bills.
Rather, you are teaching about tithing. Now, if you have been in this church for a while, you will know that the moment I get to the month where I'm talking about financial prosperity, we have a whole month we do that. Where I'm talking about financial prosperity, we have a month we talk about career, business, enlargement, following vision. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
When we get to those seasons, one of the things you hear me teach about is savings, investment. And so pastors teach savings. The Bible supports investment. And so we teach it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. Did we not teach? Didn't the Bible say that? Learn from the ant. Oh, you lazy person. How the ant gathers during the heat season, so that he can have something to eat during the rainy season. Is it not Solomon who taught in the Bible? So pastors, we teach that scripture that savings is important in your budget. So we don't just teach you the tithe. The tithe is a spiritual thing you do, a spiritual savings and investment. But physically, we also teach you that save
someone.
So if you are here, you are not saving, you are disobeying. It's not that pastors don't teach. How many of you remember Joseph? Joseph saved Egypt through savings. In Genesis chapter 47, verse 34 to 36. Genesis 47, 34 to 36. After he had interpreted the dreams, let officers be selected who represent
Pharaoh.
And every produce that will come in the next 7 years, let them keep 5% 5% or fifth, 5%. Let them keep the fifth. Wait a little bit. Let them keep the fifth. And when they keep the fifth and invest it, then when after the 7 years, they will now start enjoying it. So look at Joseph, a man of God, teaching Pharaoh the principle of saving 5%. So it means that every one of us here, if we cannot save anything at all in our salary, Joseph says you can save 5%. Are you getting what I'm saying? Joseph says you can save 5%. If you can't save anything at all. I know people who save 10. I know people who save 20%. I know people who save 50% of their income. They are all spiritual principles. And if you follow all of them together, you become successful. So we are not saying just pay tithe, but after your tithe, also engage those wisdom principles of what? Savings, investment. Otherwise you will spend everything in your hands. Do we all understand now? When emergencies come, it is your savings that can save you. But if you have no savings, you cannot be saved during times of emergencies. That is where you always become the type who always borrow, because emergency has come, there's no savings. But I pray that from today, may we walk in that wisdom.
Amen.
I said, from today, may we walk in that wisdom. From today, may we walk in that wisdom. Tap your friend by you and ask him, how much do you save every month? Ask him, do you have savings? Or you finish everything that comes into your hands? Say, repent, repent from today. Clap your two hands together for them. Do we all understand? Do we all understand? Now quickly, write this down. I have now answered all the criticisms. So now I'm giving you the reasons. Before, in 10 minutes I'm done. I'm giving you the reasons why God brought the tithe. Reasons why God established the tithe. I'm still within my time, so let me finish. These are the reasons why, if they don't understand, I'm saying it, they should watch the video and they'll understand. Reasons why God established the tithe. Deuteronomy 26, we are reading from verse 1. And write down number 1. God established the tithe so that people will show gratitude to him.
Simple.
Go to New King James so that the language will be soft for me. Now, you are going to see God giving the people instructions. Let's go. One, go. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, when you get that job, when you start working, when you start getting that income, that salary, that profit, when you start that business, when you get to the place where the Lord start giving, where people start giving you money, your husband start giving you money, your wife start giving, or when you get to the place where people are dashing you money, when you get to that place, the place the Lord has promised you, that and you possess it and dwell in it, verse 2, that you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket. Today we call it what? Envelope. Last time I explained to you that now you are not farmers, so you don't have farm produce. You deal with what? You deal with what? Money. Go. So you can't put your money in a basket. Can you put your money in a basket? You'll be very strange. Even now, people have stopped Ephira Swami. People have stopped. Now people use e-transactions, electronic transactions. Others to use envelope. So wherever you see basket, you are talking about envelope. Something you put the thing in. God is telling them, when I bring you to that level, make sure that you bring the first, and tithe is the first. I've explained to you already. The first 10% you take out before the rest of the money is now yours. So you take it, says, put it in the basket. And let's read it on. And go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name. To make his name. Now, Is it the orphanage that God's name is? Is it the hospital that God's name is? Is it the traffic light where the cripples are? Where God's name is? When you are looking for God, where do you go? When you are looking for somewhere to go and pray to God, where do you go? Do you go to look for God in the orphanage? So stop being a hypocrite. May I give my money to the poor? It's even better. God is wise. He showed you where you should go. He said, take it to his house where he has put his name. Where he has put his name. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Why do we go there? What to go and do? Verse 3. Oh, please read with me. A lot of you are quiet. Read with me. One, go. And you shall go to the place. One who is priest. Oh, I'm not reading right. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days. So that should tell you that it is only the church that is directing them. But when you go to the hospital, there's a priest there. Who do you meet at the hospital? He's not a doctor, he's not called priest. Who do you meet at the orphanage? Is that a CEO in charge of the NGO? They are the people you meet there. The only place where priests work is where? Church. There is no confusion about it. God knows the direction where your tithe should go. Do you get what I'm saying? God knows the direction where your tithe should go. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, now look at what you will say. I declare, read with me, one go. I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Go on. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord. Where do we bring our tithe to? Who receives it here in the church? The priest on the altar. I thought you would clap your hands for that. I'm teaching you Bible. In your envelope, don't we put it in something so that it will look nice and show respect to God? In those days, he said, your basket. He asked to go back. You have to put your husband's food. It shows respect. Or an elderly person, your father, in what? In basket. And serve. So you are coming to God with his tithe. It must be in a basket. That's why we put even our offerings. We even put it in tight cars before in envelopes. Before we entered into COVID, we had envelopes, special bags for offerings. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll print them again. Go on. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. You see, so he's now reminding God what God has done. So we are saying that, number one, God established the tithe so that people will show gratitude to him that, oh God, indeed, you have given me that job. Indeed, you have given me something that is paying me 100 Ghana. Oh, indeed, you have given me something. Somebody has dashed me 50 cedis. You see, when you don't come and pay tithe, what you are saying is that this whole week, God gave me not even a gift. Is that not true? You are saying that God gave you nothing, not even a gift. No bonus. So that's why it's dangerous for people who are working, not paying tithe, because you are telling God that I'm jobless. And if you don't take care, you go to that level. So that's what you are telling God. Say that, God, you have brought me to Canaan, to the land you said you were bringing. At least you brought me somewhere. Quickly, let's go on. And then verse 7. Jump to verse 7. Jump to verse 7. Then we cried out to the Lord our God, or the Lord and our God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and looked on our afflictions, our labor, and our oppression. He's recounting what happened in Egypt. This is why they were paying tithe. 8. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. God has brought me out of unemployment. God has brought me out of hunger. God has brought me out of shame. God has given me something. Some 500 cities, some 300 cities. God has given me something. God has given me some chop money. Verse 9. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land or this thing. A land flowing with milk and honey. Talking about something you are doing, your job. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. That's the tithes. I brought it. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. Say gratitude. Gratitude. So I have come. So for you to sit down and not get up to pay your tithe, it's a big statement. The mandate to Saturday, one Kujuma. The Monday to Saturday, Obian Cheo Sika. The Monday to Saturday, Uko School, your mouth chop money. What are you talking about? You didn't get any money from your parents. You didn't get any money from your husband. That you are media mimi near Juma. So you meant you didn't eat. What are you saying? Say, have mercy, Lord. Say, have mercy, Lord. Says that when you come here, you lift it up and you are worshiping. That Lord, you have given me something. It's a first fruit of it. It's a tithe of it. Number two, write it down. So our tithe. So like number one, our tithe is a prayer of thanksgiving. Do you understand? It gives God glory. Number two, God established the tithe for people to remember where God lifted them from. So that you remember where God brought them from. Look at how they were recounting from verse 4 to 6. Said, our father was a Syrian, and you took him to Egypt. You took all of them to Egypt. They suffered. Then you brought them out and you gave us this land. You see, they are remembering where. So you. Hey Charlie, I used to be jobless. Charlie, I used to be zero. I wake up and I don't have anywhere to go. Today I have a shop. Today I have an office.
And I'm an office.
I may not have the money I'm looking for, but I have something. So it helps you to remember where God has lifted you from. Wave your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Don't be ungrateful. Wave your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. God, that job you are complaining about, somebody is still applying for it.
Somebody.
That job money that you said your mother is giving you and it's not enough, somebody wishes that he has that. That job money you say your husband should increase, somebody is crying for that same amount. So be grateful to God. Clap your two hands. Number three, God established the tithe so that you enjoy the 90%, knowing that you have given God his due. God established the tithe so that you will give God his portion, which is the 10. So that you can freely enjoy the
90%.
If you're a child of God and you are spending the tithe, you guilty conscious. Guilty consciousness. When you are there, your conscience judges you. You know that you are eating God's portion. So when you are even spending the rest of the money, you are not bold. But from today, you will give God his portion. And you will freely enjoy the 90%. That is verse 11. Verse 11. Quickly. The whole thing is in that chapter. Let's be quick, media. Verse 11. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you and your house. You shall, if you want to rejoice, if you want to enjoy the blessings of God, then you must first give your tithe. So that the rest you know is yours. You are not a thief. There is no curse of the Lord on you. You know you don't owe God. But when you are doing that, say whenever you come to prayer and you are praying for blessing, for prosperity, the devil tells you, but you are not a tither. You are already robbing God. The devil will tell you, I'm not your problem, oh. Your curse is from God direct, not me. Stop saying, I bind yourself. That's what the devil is telling you. Number five, or number four, God established the tithe to pay the Levites. God established the tithe in order to pay the Levites. And I explained to you that the Levites are people who work in the church. It includes the pastors and other full-time workers like musicians who are working full-time, office workers, full-time drivers, full-time security officers, messengers in the house. Their children must not go to Saito because their father is a pastor. Because their father is an administrator in the church. No. That's why nobody wants to work for the church. And I said, I'm looking for an office worker. Nobody will apply because I can't pay you a lot of money because the church doesn't have enough tithes. Are you following what I'm saying? If I ask these our workers to stop working and come and work for the church fully, they will never agree to. They will not. So they will keep coming late in the middle of the service because they are from work. But from today, the Lord will supply for the church through your tithes. Amen. That's verse 12. Go to verse 12 quickly. Everybody read it. One go. When you have finished laying aside all the tithes of your increase in the third year. So have you seen that his tithe is talking about? Read it again. One go. Oh, those are the back. Please join us. I don't want you to feel bored. Read the scriptures for yourself. This is a Bible teaching church. We don't come to hear pastor. We read with pastor to see whether he's deceiving us or not. One go. Read it. When you have finished laying aside all the tithes of your increase in the that is your profit. Not a Jumani sika, no. A Jumani profit, no. Yenchia tithe. Unye Juma capital. Yenchia tithe. A your profit, no. So that's here. You have given you 4,000 to do business. You don't pay tithe on the 4,000. Udiye Juma no unya asun for 1,000 Ghana. That's where you pay the tithe. Do you understand? Ukunama 2,000. Feto in your mache shop mu. And this at 2,000 is unye posu tithe. Udi uton your man unya for 500. Increase. It's not your money. You don't pay tithe on it. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, your father will slap you back. Is it your increase? It's not your increase. It's not your money. You were sent with it. Like your sales, we don't pay tight. The driver don't pay tight on your sales. Your boss, it's your profit after you deduct the sales and the fuel. Your profit is where you calculate the 10%. Ask the one by you. Are you understanding the teachings? See, after today, you will not hear me talk about tithe again, because I've finished. So I'm answering the question in your mind. I've finished. From today, you won't hear me again until another time, a long time. So if you have any question, you just have to ask. And have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless. Let me read again. Let's all read it again. One go. When have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite. You have given it to who?
The Levite.
The stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Now, did you understand it? That's why I explained to you that out of the tithe, the poor in the church are supported. Out of the tithe, people who are fatherless, they can go to school. They can get scholarship out of the tithe. Widows who are crying, they can be given capital to start some business from the church. But any church that the people don't pay tithe, they can't do what I'm saying. So don't criticize the church. Find out whether the people are paying it or not before you even criticize the church. Because they cannot do it if their people don't pay it. If what is coming cannot do anything, then the people cannot do it. But to the glory of God, this church, we are doing everything that I'm saying. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Strong hands. stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they will enjoy it in your own town where your church is. Go on. So God established the tithes. Have you read the verse 11? Have you read the verse 12? Good. Now, verse 5. Number 5. God established the tithe to care for the needy and the poor. Deuteronomy 26, 13. So go to verse 13. To take care of the needy and the poor. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I've removed the holy tithe from my house. You can say before God, hey, I paid your tithe. Paid your tithe. Hey,
me
He said, you shall say to the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. I'm not keeping it. I don't want, but are you keeping the tithe? February has ended. Are you keeping February tithe? It is still in your pocket. Oh. God's holy thing is still on you. This week has ended. You have come to church, but God's tithe is still on you. You have not given it. You better give God his holy thing, so that it will not bring anything on you, any curse on you or anything. I'm reading the Bible. Are you reading with me? I said, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all your commandment, according to what you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandment, nor have I forgotten them. That means that the one who doesn't pay has transgressed. That answers the criticism, whether it's a sin or not. Number 6, God established the tithe as money set apart from all secular and worldly purposes. So God established the tithe as the holy money from all the other things you are doing. Set it aside from all the secular and worldly purposes. Verse 14. He said, I have not eaten any of it. Church, please read with me. I'm just ending now, so read with me. One go. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, whether crying, nor have I removed any of it for any unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I don't want by you. What do you use the tithe for? Some of you give the tithe to a sick person. You give it to funeral contribution. You use it for several things. He says that I've not used it for anything. Charlie, the Bible says everything. He said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. So listen, you realize that when you take your salary, there are things you do with your salary. Can you mention some of the things you do with your salary on your budget? Quickly.
One is savings. My wife and my baby.
Your baby.
And utilities.
Utilities like water, light, transportation to work, and all these things. Now, all these things, are they holy things? Are they for God's purpose? So you realize that without tithe, all your money only does secular, earthly things. There is nothing holy about your money. There is nothing you use your money to do that builds God's kingdom if you fail to pay tithe. Because you go back, check your budget. You will see that your whole budget is about you, your mother, your auntie, your children, your job, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your first boyfriend, second boyfriend, third boyfriend, fourth girlfriend. Say nothing holy. It is only in the tithing that your money is building God's church. Your money is paying church workers. Your money is feeding the poor in the church. Your money is helping the needy in the church. Your money is schooling people. You see, it is only the tithe that makes you have a holy assignment that you give to your budget or your money. So why are you denying yourself that one holy thing your money did? Clap your two hands for
them.
That's verse 14. And then number 7, God established the tithe to have a legal basis to bless his people. So God is looking for something to stand on so he will bless you more. Verse 15, look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us. Bless the job you have given me. When you come and tithe, you are giving God a basis to bless you more. Because you are not wicked, you are not ungrateful. Out of the little he has given you, you have acknowledged it. And so he said, God will look from heaven to bless that land, that farm, that bank account, that job, that business, that career. May that be your portion. Some of you young people, God will bless your parents because of your tithe. God will bring you scholarships because of your tithe.
Amen.
But as young as I was tithing. No wonder my parents stopped paying school fees from SHS 1. They stopped. From SHS 1 to university, my mother never paid fees. My father never paid fees. Scholarship, opportunity, doors. I never owed the school. Never. I was always going to account office to take change. Take change from SS1. Because as a little boy from class 5, I was paying tight out of the chop money. May you be blessed. Among your mother's children, may God find a reason to bless you. Among your father's children, may God find a reason to lift you up. Among the people in your office, may God find a reason to promote you. Among the people who sell on the market with you, may God find a reason to lift up your job. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Legal, clap your two hands. A legal basis. A reason to be blessed. To be blessed more. Number 8. God established the tithe as a test of your obedience. Whether you be obedient or not. Oh, Charlie, you are holding the money comes and ECG and water and transportation. They're like, hey, the thing is not enough. Oh. You must learn to trust God and obey. And that's where a lot of us fail. We don't take tithe as the last. Tithe is called first from verse 1. He said, I bought the first thing. So that you don't say that, oh, me, you, and us. Because your needs are terrible. You will never. So the first thing you take is God's portion. The one who gave you the thing. Deuteronomy 26, 16. To 17. Tell somebody be obedient. Tell him no matter the pressure. Oh, you are not saying it. You are not with me. Tell him no matter the pressure. From your family, from the economy, from this country, no matter the pressure, from your landlord, from your friends, from your wife, from your husband, pay your tithe. Be obedient to the voice of God. And when you trust him, he will order your steps. He will bless you. Clap your two hands for the Lord. And then finally, God established the tithe in order to create a peculiar people. An unusual group of prosperous and blessed people on earth. 18 to 19. God brought the tithe so that he would separate his people and bless them. From the sanquas. From the rest. He said also today. Please rise up. I'm closing with you. Rise up. We are going to pray. Read this last scripture. I'm done. Read this last scripture. I'm done. Read this last scripture. 18, 19. Everybody, one go. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special. Oh, you didn't read. Also today, the Lord has declared or proclaimed that you are his special people. Just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments. So the day they started tithing, that was the day God now said, I'm going to make you special. I'm going to make you special. May God make you special. Among your mother's children, may God make you special.
Amen.
Among the people around you, may you become the special one. And that he will set you high above all the nations which he has made in praise. May God set you high. Oh, this is the time I'm blessing. I said, may God set you high. I said, may God lift you up. There will be nobody in your family as blessed as you are. There will be nobody in your company as lifted as you will be. There is nobody blessed in your province as blessed as you are. Your hands that are lifted up, they are receiving blessings. Your hands are receiving blessings. The windows of heaven are open. You become the special one of God. You become the blessed one of God. In this month of March, may your hand handle US dollars. May your hands handle more money. May your hands handle more blessings. May you get a new job that will pay you well. A new job that will give you time to serve God. I pray for every one of you that the blessings of God will change you from poverty to a prosperous person. Will change you from a cursed person to a blessed person. Will change you from a struggling person to a fruitful person. I declare that whatever is small in your life is becoming big in your life. Your business is becoming big. Your business is growing. Your finances is increasing. Your job is increasing. God is opening you up. Your customers are increasing. Clap your two hands and say, I receive all the blessings. Wave your hands and just thank the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.